Okay, so I'm going to this evening share a very short bit, just to give a bit of context, and then we're having some people to share with you what God has done in their lives during this year, and even in the past maybe, and it's maybe something we will do in the future, you know, to get people just to come and share what God has done in their lives. Okay, so a little becomes a lot. And something earlier this year, I've shared a bit of this previously, but just sort of want to remind us again. You see, if you have a little seed, and you take the little seed and you plant it in the soil, the potential is unlimited. That little something can grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, although you only have a little bit. And that's sort of what happens. A little becomes a lot. And specifically when it comes to what God has done in our lives, many of us will say, oh, but, you know, I don't have amazing testimony. You know, I wasn't like a drug addict maybe, or I wasn't this, or I wasn't that, or, you know, I don't know. I was just a nice person my whole life, and then I became a Christian. But I want to say this evening that every little seed that we have received from God can become something so profound, so special, if we are willing to share it. So 1 Corinthians 15 verses 9 to 10 says, "For I," this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." It says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. This, the man that I've become today, is by the grace of God. What is grace? It's an undeserved gift. You don't deserve it. Okay, grace goes to those who don't deserve it. That's grace. It's a gift. It's empowerment from God, and we cannot earn it. So the Apostle Paul says it's the grace of God. It's, I've not done anything to receive this or to become this. This is really God and His grace. And His grace towards me was not in vain. Can you say that? Was not in vain. Was not in vain. And this is very profound. Was not in vain. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, this gift that God has given me hasn't just come to me for no reason. It was not in vain. It was not wasted on me. I didn't just become a believer and, yay, I'm a believer and it's wonderful. No, he took that little bit that God gave him and he spread it. He shared it with everybody. And so the grace was not in vain. But you see, we need to share it to make it work. You need to plant the seed to have it grow. And so he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So he says, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm the least of the apostles. I have received very little, but the little that I have, I've taken it, I've applied it, it has multiplied, and in the end, I've done more than all the apostles together because of the grace of God. Do you know what is a tragedy? If you receive bread from heaven, you receive bread from heaven because you were hungry. You receive bread from heaven and everybody is hungry around you as well. You receive the bread, but you don't share it. You just put your bread down there. You see what will happen to the bread? The bread will become stale and nobody will be able to eat it after a few days or a few weeks. But if you receive the bread from heaven, you apply it to yourself and you start sharing it. Do you know what happens? That little piece of bread becomes a bakery. Unlimited supply, a bakery. There's more bread and more bread and more bread. A little becomes a lot. A little becomes a lot. And I find this so often with believers, so often with Christians. They receive their little bit and they say, oh, it's just a little bit of bread. What can I do with this? What can I do with this? I can't do anything with it. But if you would just share it, it would multiply. If you would just share with somebody else, it would multiply. So a little becomes a lot. How does that happen? If you share it. Just two things I want to say. The one is, a little becomes a lot when you share it. Even if it's the most insignificant little thing that God has done in your life, if you share it, it will multiply. The key to having much grace is in sharing the little grace. You know, when I became a believer, I was really down and out. I came into church and I looked at all these wonderful holy people and I just thought, I can't be like them. You know, I swear too much and I drink too much and I do this too much and that too much and I just can't. I mean, this is, I don't know what to do. But I remember I was, every little bit I got, I just started to apply it. I got involved. I started to do something. I started to share and I started to grow. And God really blessed it. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, share it with one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you share it, it will multiply. So do you have one little word from God? Run with it. One revelation, you got one something clicking something in your mind, share it. Do you have one little gift? Minister it. Do you have one moment in life? Live it. Take hold of it. Apply it. Go for it. Because as you take hold of it, God's going to give you more. As you take hold of that, God's going to give you more and more and more. And so this evening, we're going to have some people sharing with us and just giving out of what God has given to them. Matthew 25, 29. I added in brackets just to make it clearer. But this is Jesus speaking. And he says, for to everyone who has, and I applied, and uses it faithfully, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, because he didn't use it faithfully, even what he has will be taken away. How's that for profound? So even if God gives you something, if he gives you a talent or a gift, but you just let it lie, it's going to die. It's going to fall off. It's going to become nothing in the end. But if you use the little, if you're faithful in the little, it's going to become more. The less you use it, the less you will have. Earlier the year, I felt God speaking to my heart. And I felt God telling me that too many of my people are still waiting for something that they already have. Let me say that again. Too many of my people, believers, Christians, are still waiting for something that they already have. You know, that's why people fly overseas, you know, to go to the amazing anointed people. Please pray for me. Touch me. I want to get something more or whatever. You know, some people do that. We don't necessarily do that. But, you know, it's just like the Lord just told me, you have what you need. It's in your hand. If you're a believer today, you have what you need. Just start applying it. So what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? You see, God asked this question to Moses. He asked him. Is Exodus 4 verse 2. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod, Lord. Been walking with this thing for 40 years in the desert. Sheep, rod, nothing. But God said, now take that same little thing that's come with you all this time, this thing that you felt is so insignificant. Throw it on the ground, it became a snake and became different things. When Moses held the rod over the seas parted. That same little thing, insignificant thing, God can use. And I want to say, every gift you have, every ability you have, every little thing in your life can become something profound if one would submit it to the Lord. So I believe your testimony, if you're a believer this evening, you're a Christian, God has been doing things in your life. He has been walking a journey with you, as with myself and with all of us. Share it. Your understanding of the gospel, your little bit idea, share it. Your relationship with Jesus, share it. Throw it. Use it. Take your rod and throw it and see a miracle happen. But we don't. We hold it back. There's never been anything supernatural about Moses' little rod, but the grace of God. And that's what we're trusting that God will start doing in our lives. God uses ordinary people. Can you say this? I am ordinary. But God can do extraordinary things. through me. Maybe let's say that again. I am ordinary, but God can do extraordinary things through me by His grace. Amen. So how does a little become a lot? Number one, share it. Number two, celebrate it. Celebrate it. And that's what we also want to do this evening. Celebrate what God has done. There are so many profound things God has done this year and in our lives. We need to celebrate. We need to remember. Okay, so I'm going to give it's four areas that we're going to have people sharing now. In the Old Testament, there's such instances where the Israelites would celebrate, where they would, after God had done something, they would institute a feast and they would celebrate. For instance, the Old Testament, the Israelites were taken with Moses through the Red Sea. They were delivered from slavery and from Egypt. And so they institute a feast, a yearly feast to celebrate what God has done. And so I want to ask some guys to come and share specifically their deliverance from Egypt, from slavery, and from the past. Okay, so Tinus, kom deel met ons eerste. Let's put our hands together for him.
Shoo. Hello.
Hello.
I know that person. I just want to share with you guys, you know, sometimes we think what we don't have, but we forgot what we do have. And and I did a bit of soul searching this year and just realized how much change happened in my life from the beginning of the year in the next, well, since February, God changed me. And I always had a problem with backsliding my whole life. And I messed up good. Listen, if you want to know how to mess up, ask me. Because if I wasn't in jail for a speeding fine, I was in jail for malicious damage to property. Or I did everything over and above in extremes. So my life is about extremes. And God just came the beginning of the year that I messed up morally in every single aspect in my life. I messed up good. I was in church, solid in church, and I ran away out of church. I ran to East London, and I found out that God's here too. It's not just in Pretoria, Joburg. And the beginning of the year, God changed. Sin is like bondage, and sin is like missing the mark completely. And you're in slavery when you're in sin, and especially if you messed up big time in your life. And the grace of God just came in. How it works, I don't know, but it works. And He changed me. So I'm a changed person here today as I'm standing here. Because, God, I mean, there's a few people in church that knows me and know how God worked in my life and how He changed that scripture, the beauty into, or the ashes for beauty. And, yeah, I just want to, like, challenge you guys just, Out of my own life, I know it's evident because I can see the bad patterns that was there previously that God changed. And perception, your way of thinking. And yeah, God's awesome. People, yeah, I can just testify about how God changed it. And I just want to read you this scripture in 2 Chronicles verse. It's a beautiful one, 7 verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And that is exactly, that scripture just stood out for me. Even in my messed up, confused stages, I just happened to have the CD. I don't know how it happened. I went to the CD shop. Koom Books wasn't here yet. So I just found myself in the shop at a time, buying the CD, and I open it. It's a Hillsong CD, and on the as you open it, the scripture was, and I just God just spoke to me, and He just touched me. Yeah, so I just want to share this with you, not keeping it from you. Yeah, and God can change. He can change every bad circumstance. He can change for good. Amen. Yeah. It's especially in, I messed up in, as I said, in every area. And especially, I always knew that somewhere, that there's more in life than just the next party, or there's more in life than the next cigarette. And you will do sin, and you will feel completely, you'll know it's wrong, and you'll feel convicted, and you'll feel condemned, and you will feel completely lost. I mean, and just that emptiness of don't belong anywhere, and that guilt and shame and condemnation, that stuff that is normally clinged onto sin. God really took that away. So if you feel there's areas in your life where you feel ashamed or guilty or just bad or hopeless, depressed. I struggled with depression and with just that lost, empty feeling. God changed it, and He did it as being the beginning of the year and until now. And I can promise you, when God changes, when He steps in and He changes, it's a lifestyle. God turns it into a lifestyle instead of being depressed, joy. So yeah, just hang on there, believe in God, and that scripture, 2 Chronicles 2:7-14, God will heal. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. That man is a walking miracle. You don't know half of the story. Okay, Steph. Any listener, you can come so long.
Hello. I just wanted to share with you guys also what the Lord has been doing in my life like the last 11 years. I'll try and keep it very quick. I've been a Christian now for about 11 years, gave my life to the Lord, got baptized, spirit-filled. I was really on fire for the Lord in the beginning. You know, I was like this unstoppable force, you know, just going for it and on my mission there. And as time went on, I kind of, you know, that sort of passion and you know, that fire that I had sort of dwindled out. It kind of faded away. And as some more time went on, I actually asked myself, like, why is that? You know, why did that happen to me? Like, you know, I found myself struggling a lot more with everything than what I used to. And the truth behind it is that I allowed the enemy to lie to me, you know, in terms of who I am, my identity in Jesus. That was, you know, there was something that was whispered into my ear and was a lie. I fell for it. And that, and as a consequence of that, I, you know, started just going on the wrong path, you know. Like For instance, I got into a relationship with a girl that ended quite badly. In terms of I got my heart very badly broken. And, you know, at that stage, I was like, okay, fine, Lord. You've taken me out of Egypt, okay? And if this is what the promised land is supposed to be like, I'm going back to Egypt. Because I hear they got really cool pyramids and there's some awesome like swing things there, and the sand's supposed to be really nice this time of the year. So, you know, I just really fooled myself into thinking, okay, you know, Lord, I'm going to go on my own mission. I'm going to try my own thing. And then about 3 years ago, after just being completely on my own mission, I actually followed a girl to this church, by the way, and asked her out for coffee. I met her at Lee Gold, where I work. I asked her out for coffee, and, you know, she said, yeah, I know, okay, cool, I'll go with you, and ended up going for coffee, and she was just like carrying on about this church, Shofar. And just like Sonika said, it's like, what? Shofar, what? It's weird. It just didn't sound really kosher. So, you know, I was at that point quite a religious person, you know. I wasn't really walking with God. So I was really a bit iffy about this whole Shofar story. But I did come after a lot of SMSs from this girl and a lot of phoning. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll just go, you know. And that's when the Holy Spirit really got hold of me again and kind of started to reveal to me who I am in the Lord. And I just want to encourage you guys. The enemy will come and he will lie to you about who you are. Okay? Do not fall for it. Okay? Get yourself into the Word. Because, I mean, at the beginning of this year even, I was struggling with something. I mean, I was depressed. I was bummed out. You can ask Andre. I was in his cell. I'll come there week after week being like all feeling sorry for myself and having a big fat pity party. And, you know, you'll ask me, am I spending time with the Lord? Am I praying? And I'll be like, not so much. Am I reading my Bible? No, not really. Though, you know. And that's also because I swallowed another little lie. Okay. But God's grace is amazing. I mean, I can't really tell you about God's grace. It's just, I don't have the words. I mean, in that period of time when I was off the road, I should have been dead, you know, fell into all sorts of weird sin. But it's by His grace that I am where I am today. And yeah, I just want to encourage you to take that step where you, it's like what Andre said last week about that stuff that weighs down your soul, you know, so you can't connect with God. Okay. Take the step, be honest with God. Tell Him, Lord, look, I'm battling reading my Bible. I'm battling praying. My flesh does not feel like doing this thing. Just be honest with Him and say, Lord, I give this to You. Give me a heart for You. Give me a hunger for You. And He will do that. I mean, He's absolutely faithful like that. It's completely scriptural. You draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And in my case, it was like I took the step, and it was as if He ran up to me and was going to give me like this football tackle, just an embrace and acceptance and love. I was like the prodigal son coming back to the Father again. And yeah, I just want to praise Him for that and for, you know, looking after me and for His grace. And I want to just want to encourage you guys to really just push into the Lord. And get yourselves into a cell group. Get yourselves into a place where people can pray with you. People can speak God's truth over your lives. You know, that's the place where a lot of miracles happen. So I just want to encourage you in that. Thanks. Amen.
Okay, Elisna is going to do a song for us. The words will be on the screen. And this is just to bless you.
Okay, the song is about... It's about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery in John 8. The one that they dragged to Jesus and they wanted to stone her, and then He came to her rescue.
I remember. My new heart. but I won the never pay, but I own the place inside your home. When all I ever did was come, when all you said was to run after you. I know I've the name above all names, is a banner over me. I know I've the name above all names, is a banner over me. I know I've the name above.
Wonderful. That's very beautiful words. And that's basically how it works. You don't pay anything to come to Jesus. You just come because he has paid it already. That's awesome. Thank you, listener. Okay. Daniel. Have some of the young men sharing with us. And he's got a paper in his hand. Yes. Come and share with us. Preach, brother.
This is my confidence right here. Okay, I'm going to be speaking not only on behalf of myself, but also on my family and how we've experienced these 40 days of sanctification that I think most of us have been following for the last 35 days, I think. Okay, maybe there is truth in that a person gets wiser as they get older, but the greatest truth that I've discovered is that through these 40 days of sanctification, we are more hungry now for his presence than we have ever been before. My brothers and I gave up TV, Xbox, and Facebook as our biggest distractions, and my mom and dad TV because they don't even know how to operate the others. I think that all of us live too much on the surface, and these 40 days have really made us think and feel and begin to live deeper. God wants quantity time spent in praise, worship, the Word, teaching us, and drawing closer to Him. God has spoken to us all in different ways, but the common thread we all identify with is that we long for more. Satan is an expert at stealing our time with distractions. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, well, tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's really been a joy and desire for us to all spend time with the Lord. Because of grace, we have not come under any legal religiosity. There have been days and times when our time with the Lord has been more than others. For instance, for the last week or so, Gareth has been in Cape Town with my brother Bruce. He's been having such a great, well, he had such a great and busy time. And he said that he wasn't able to spend as much time in the Word, but he was ever conscious of the need to pray and to want to pray. I think that's something that the 40 days has really built in me and my family, is that we've wanted to spend more time with God. The fast has not only opened my eyes to how much of my time is wasted on irrelevant things, but it has given me a new thirst for the Lord and for spending time with Him in His Word. My new prayer is that this newly discovered urgency to grow deeper with God continues in me and each member of my family.
Amen. That's awesome. Okay, Diana.
I don't know how I'm going to do this because a lot of it makes me want to cry. So I'm going to try. I think I'm going to read the first bit because it's just easier for me. For those who don't know our story, I'll just say that we came to East London a year ago because this is where the Lord wants to do something special, and He has asked us to come here with Him. Prior to this, we had four very hard years, during which we lost all four of our parents and two homes that Michael had built specially for me. The first cottage was burned to the ground during a felt fire, which destroyed 16 other cottages at the same time. This was in a development, and so we were all suffering the same thing. But as our cottage was not insured, it became a powerful witness to the goodness of God, because firstly, we were able to accept the loss and trust Him to provide for us, while everybody else was very negative about the loss of their homes. And later, when we sold our plot, He gave us much more than we paid for it and the cottage together. The second cottage wasn't our own, but the owner of the farm had needed farm managers and gave us a budget to build a home. We lived there for 10 years and were very happy, and we had everything we needed and made wonderful friends. We had basically decided to live out our lives there, but the Lord had other ideas. And when the owner had to sell the farm, the Lord asked us to move to East London. He also told us to part with most of our possessions, and I actually had to pray and ask the Lord to help me to let go, as this process was really very painful. I felt as though bits of me were scattered all over the Karabukwa felt. And what the Lord had me do was to cut myself off from all the things that I was giving away. And after that, I had total freedom. I could just give away things and it meant nothing to me, because it no longer had any hold over me. Here, the Lord has blessed us with a lovely property. Because we moved from farmlands and living in the country a lot, I found it very difficult to adjust to city living. So we now live in a suburb, but the property that we have has a big property next to it. And the people who have the property next door have a herd of buck. And they just happen to be Nyala, which just happened to be my favorite buck. So that's how the Lord takes care of things and just shows you in a special way that He knows you personally and He cares about you personally and the things that you want. And when I look from my bedroom door, I can look out over farmlands and small holdings with horses and all sorts of things like that. So I have something really very special to take the place of what I've lost. So the Lord never takes away without giving something else instead. And also during this time that I read about here, that was so very difficult for Michael and I when we lost all four of our parents, the Lord was at the same time wooing us. And it's one of the most precious times of my life, where He told me over and over again how special I was to Him and how much He loved me. And He said it so often that now I will never, ever forget. God loves me and He loves all of us that same way. If we'll just listen to Him and receive from Him what He has to give to us. He wants to tell us how much He loves us. And then over this last year, from various sermons, not only from sermons that were shared here, but also ones that we've listened from Stellenbosch, we've learned, or I personally have learned, right when Andrew first came here, he spoke about listening to the Lord's report. And when we first came here, I was suffering a lot because I was really struggling with the adjustment. And I clung on to that, listening to the Lord's report. And he told me again and again and again how much He loved me and that this was where He wanted me. And no matter how much the devil tried to tell me that I was a waste of time here and what was I doing here, what did I think I would be able to achieve here, the Lord kept on saying to me, I love you and I want you here. I want you here with me. And because I could listen to His report, I had the courage to go on. I had the grace to go on and to just trust Him that He would make me feel at home here. Which He did right from the beginning. Both of us felt as though we belonged here. Then there were three other sermons. Sonika started the ball rolling when she spoke about the gifts, and that each day is a gift, and or that there's gifts. What was it? Yeah, I can't quite remember what she taught, but I know that that started the ball rolling in my life. And I understood that each day was like a box full of gifts, all individually wrapped. And first of all, I had to accept the box. I had to take that box and say, okay, I'll take this day, and I'll open everything that you have for me in this day. And there were every gift is special. And some of the gifts will be like personal gifts from God's heart to my heart. And there'll be things like He knows that I love birds. So He'll show me a bird, and a new bird that I've never seen before, Just when I'm feeling at my lowest point, he'll just show me a new bird that I've never seen before. And I'll just be able to appreciate it and enjoy it because this is what God's giving me. And he's just showing me again that he loves me. Or he'll show me a flower. Or because I miss the mountains so much, he showed me that clouds are just as beautiful in the sky as the mountains are. So there are different things that God has spoken, especially to my own personal heart. Then there are other gifts that I have to open, and those are gifts like when I can share with people, like I'm sharing with you today, although I'm as nervous as anything, or when other people bless me, just do something nice and say something nice. That I also take as a gift from God, an encouragement from God, and I encourage you to do the same, because if you start recognizing what God's people say to you as from him, then you hear a lot more from God. And then there are another lot of presents that are not quite so nice to open. They're rather knobbly. And they're the ones when God reprimands you. But I've learned to love those ones just as much because they are just as good for me. And they are just as encouraging because I know that a father reprimands his children because he loves them. And he loves me. That's why he's reprimanding me and showing me the right way and keeping me on the right path. But I think the lesson that's meant the most to me and has helped me to succeed the most is the fact that he taught me to appreciate the season that I am in and to accept that season. And that's not always easy. Some of the season that you're in is nice, but some of it is very difficult to live through. And he's just given me the grace and he's just enfolded me in his love and he's shown me that if we accept the season we're in, then life is just that much easier and that much more blessed. So that's what I want to leave with you today.
Thanks, Diana. I'm sure you can preach sometime. We'll give you a slot. Okay, Adele. Where's Adele? There's Adele. She's going to do a dance for us. Do you want to share?
And I'm identifying with your nerves. but I just want to invite you to on a journey of intimacy. The last year or so, I'd describe my walk with the Lord as one growing to know him as my father and walking in intimacy with him, or growing in intimacy. And I remember about a year or maybe more than a year ago, I was having a prayer time and I had a picture of having a plaster over my heart. And the Lord was like, he took the plaster off and there was this horrible wound there. And I was like, no, put it back. I don't want anyone to see that. And then a couple of months ago, I had a prayer time and I just noticed how I'd grown from that place of being wanting to hide from the Lord or wanting to hide my hurts from him. And I had a time where I said, Lord, okay, here I am. And I want to go behind the veil with you. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you, even though it's not so such a pretty sight, I want to give it to you. And I just had an exchange with him. And as I, in the spirit or whatever, as I gave him my heart, Jesus gave his heart to me. And this, it was an amazing exchange of, I just gave something that was not so worth, that was worthless. And he gave me something so much more amazing. And it's just fueled my desire for intimacy for the Lord. And the song that I'm going to dance to is just about wanting to know Jesus and wanting to know him. And I just want to invite you, you don't even have to watch, just close your eyes. I'm sure you know the song. And just come on this journey of intimacy.
Secret in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are here. In the secret, in the quiet hour of wait, only for you, 'cause I wanna know. I want highest goal, that I might receive the prize. Pressing onwards, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I wanna know you more. I want to know.
Amazing. This is always amazing. But maybe just one slide I want to, it says the first was deliverance from Egypt, the different aspects that were celebrated in the Old Testament, and they were doing that. They were dancing. I mean, David, when he brought back the presence of God, he was dancing before God. He was surrendered. There's something about just forgetting about what people think and stuff, and you just dance before God. You just lose yourself in him. And we really want the presence of God in the church. So next year we're going to do some more dancing, all of us. Yay. Okay. All the men are very excited now. And the next aspect that was celebrated as well in the Old Testament was building, the building of the temple. There would be long festivities. And it was all about building a home for God. And I guess that's what the song was all about as well. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to experience your presence. I want you to be the home in my heart. Do you know that your body, your physical body, becomes a temple of God? And God comes and live on the inside of you? There's nothing like that on this earth. Okay, so just the last two people to share. Johan Trotsky.
Evening. It was in one of the small groups a couple of weeks ago that someone asked the questions, who knows the Lord as a friend? And I could relate to Jesus as a friend, and I could relate to Jesus as Lord very well. But there's a bit of distance in that relationship, and I couldn't relate to him at that stage as a friend or intimately. And it really bothered me, and I really seek the Lord for that, to say, why is it so difficult to enter through that veil and experience you like that, intimately? And basically the Lord showed me that there's a lot of religious clutter surrounding you, me in that case, which is unfortunately for some of us, and maybe for a lot of us, in the way that we were brought up, with a lot of rules and a lot of religious things, and we all went to church and so on, and it's a stumbling block for that. And the Lord showed me, or reminded me of something that happened when I was worshiping. I just met the Lord. I was just baptized with the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand those things well at that stage, and I always worship like this. Because, you know, it's a personal thing, and I was quiet in the way I worshipped, and I thought this is the way that I worship the Lord. This is a personal thing, and the Lord values individualism, and that's fine. And I was in a church there. I think it was the first time I visited that church. And there was someone standing next to me, and he just gave me a nudge. And he said, "Release your hands." And I first looked at the guy. I mean, what's... And then I looked at myself, and I was actually clenching my hands like this. And I released, and then this happened. So I immediately put them down, and every time I just relaxed, my hands went up like this. I couldn't stop it. It was a wonderful experience at that stage. I worshipped freely. I didn't, for a long time after that, I didn't understand what happened there. And then the Lord just reminded me of that, and he said, "Johan, you guys are quenching me and the Spirit by doing that. And the relationship that you're seeking by doing that, because of religious things that comes from your past." And he sort of reminded me of, you know, the steps that we took in worship also. Why does it feel so uncomfortable when you're here and everyone's lifting up your hands and you don't want to? Why? Why is that? You know, the whole thing, most of us go through the whole baptism thing. Why? I stood on the other side of baptism and I looked back and I said, "Why was it so difficult? Why was it such an issue for me at that stage?" And the Lord said, "You're religious, religion, the spirit of religion, because it's actually a clash when you get there. You get there and you feel uncomfortable. It's all those things that keep you away from an intimate relationship with me. It's actually just a walking through the veil." And that's what I want to share to you tonight.
Thanks. Danke, Johan. And we've been ministering the past few weeks. I've been ministering about having an intimate relationship with God. And that's sort of what he's sharing as well. It is liberty to lift your hands, to dance before the Lord. Okay, and then just Karen, to end it off for us. The anointed Karen of the Lord.
It's amazing the way that the Lord works with all of us differently, hey? Hi. I'm so blessed because the Lord has worked with me in such a special way, and it's so different to everybody else's way. But what happened to us was, I'm going to speak on behalf of Len and I, because it's a similar kind of walk. And we were both saved from when we were little. Our mothers were very strong in the Lord, and they really taught us the ways of Christianity. And I'm really grateful for the families that we grew up in. But what happened was, we were involved in a very traditional church, and in a way, they denied the power of Christ. And so when you're saved, then you want more. Obviously, you want more because Jesus Christ is in you, and obviously there must be more because he's big. So it always felt as if my faith reached the ceiling, and I couldn't get further than that, and I always felt as if there must be more than this. So as it happened, we were involved in business in Stellenbosch, and we got confronted with a couple who Len was involved with in business. Actually, the guy's name is Paul Krieger and his wife, and they are pastoring a church in Ceres today. And they had such a light around them that it just was something that we really wanted. So we became friends with them, and our friendship grew. And one night they came to our home, and we all sat around a table, and I said to them, "So tell us about this Holy Spirit thing." And he said, "Yeah, actually tonight he was going to tell us about the Holy Spirit." And all our friends are from our traditional church waited for pudding, and then they left. And then it was us four. And he said he's brought a bottle of grape juice with, and tonight we're going to celebrate with communion, and he's going to pray for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was very skrikkerig. I thought, "Oh, Lord, this is something I've never really wanted," because everyone thinks talking in tongues and all those things are, you don't go there. So, but I thought, you know, this is what I've always actually wanted. My spirit man wants this. My natural man doesn't really want this, because this is going to mean change. So it became late in the night, and we were talking about all stupid things, and eventually Paul just said, "Listen, I want to pray for you." And he prayed for Len and I, and we were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and immediately we started speaking in tongues. It was very supernatural. It was very amazing. And the next morning I phoned a friend, and I said, "You won't believe what happened to us last night." And she wasn't excited at all. And I phoned my mom, And I said, you won't believe what happened to me last night. And she said, well, I'm so excited because it's actually your 21st spiritual birthday. How's that? On the day. So anyway, and after that, things really changed for us. All of a sudden, I had a desire to read the word before, but it was something that I knew I had to do, and the words didn't jump out at me, and I didn't really have, it wasn't revelation for me. But when I started reading the Bible after that, things really changed. And when I started speaking to people about the Lord, I wanted to speak to them because it was life. You want to share your faith. And our marriage changed. It became a much deeper marriage because it was more intimate because we shared the same thing. And the way that we brought up our children changed because we had a different focus on what we wanted to achieve with our kids now. So lots of things changed. Anyway, and we changed churches. We went to a shofar also in Stellenbosch. And we experienced lots of different things. We experienced lots of experiences with God, which we had been told before weren't things to desire because they're not real. You know, experiences are never real. But those things make life exciting, like a holiday makes your life exciting, and new clothing makes your life exciting, and anything that veers off the beaten track is exciting. So the Christian walk is also like that. It doesn't have to be an 8-to-5 job Monday to Friday, have your 3 meals a day and start again on Monday. There's more to it than that. And we were very blessed by the miraculous. And then that's how the Lord started growing in my life. And then we came into a place where we were challenged with a move. The Lord was really speaking to us about moving to East London. But because I had such a boldness about me at that stage, it was a year and a half after all this had happened, and the Lord had really built my faith. It wasn't something that I thought, oh, no, we could never do this. It was something that happened naturally, and with God, anything is possible. And it isn't just a cliche. It really is like that. So Lynn and I were both in agreement. We were both on the same page. Our family wasn't. My mom was quite supportive, but everybody else thought we were crazy because we had 3 children and we had a very settled life, had a good business, lived across the road from the school. So why would we move to East London anyway? Everyone thought it was PE. Nobody even knew what East London was. So anyway, we did. We moved down. We had a really bad fallout with my father, who wasn't keen at all on our move because he didn't see it from a spiritual place. But it was the Lord that spoke to us and said, something is going to happen. You need to go to East London. So we moved down, and we didn't know what we were going to do here. We had money for 6 months, and we had to turn something into something. And then the Lord gave me a dream. And because Len and I were on the same page spiritually, when I shared it with him, he also clicked that thing, and that was about starting the shop. So we started on a Saturday morning, and it grew. It grew from place to place to place to place. And the Lord has just been so faithful. So I want to encourage you to go deeper with God and to desire those gifts because they make the spiritual life really worth living. And there's a scripture I want to share with you, and this is a complicated one. You need to have higher grade maths. It's a very weird scripture. It's in Proverbs chapter 14, and it's verse 4, and I bet you don't know what it means. It says, without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. I'm going to read it again. I bet you nobody knows, eh? Without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Anyway, I don't know what the theological meaning of that is, but I know what the Lord told me about that scripture. And it means that, for me, it means that if I want my life to be simple and I want it to be uncluttered and I want it to be easy, then there's going to be no harvest for me because there's going to be no oxen eating in there. So it means, in a stupid way of saying it, it means if you want your home to be neat and tidy and you've got children in your home and they can't mess and they can't have fun, then what kind of child are you going to end up having? They're going to be listless. They're going to sit in front of the TV because everything's under control. But that isn't what you want with a spiritual life. You actually want it to be exciting. You want it to get messy. You want to go in there with the Lord. You want it to get cluttered. Because when you get into that place, then you're going to have a big harvest. Because the ox has got to eat out of the manger, get strength, and go out. So that's a scripture that the Lord gave me. And whenever life gets tough and I feel a bit cluttered and busy and overwhelmed by stuff and very weak in the things that he's asked us to do, then I go back to that scripture. And God has been very faithful to us. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Thanks for sharing, Corin. I was really blessed. And I want to add to what she said about that scripture. that, you know, you can have a very clean, a very self-controlled Christian walk with God and never actually meet with Him. But you're doing your religious thing. You're coming to church, you're singing your song, you go home, you read your Bible maybe, but you don't meet with Him. And everything we've been sharing here this evening was people that met with God. They experienced God. They were touched by God. And that's what I want to share with you. And we're going to have communion now. We're going to end off with communion so the ushers can just hand out the communion elements. But I want to share with you that our God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He is not dead. So I want to ask you, how is your relationship with God, your spiritual relationship with God? Is it a dead, boring, dry, trying thing? Or are you meeting with God? Are you experiencing, even like Diana shared, God spoke to her and said to her, I love you. And I'm sure you think, oh, that's so female. Jesus has done the same with me. And I tell you, when Jesus tells you that, you break down. The source of life tells you He loves you. So where are you at this evening? I really want us to search our hearts, even as we're going to have communion now. You know, in the song that Adele danced here, I want to know you. I want to know you more. But for that, you need to get a little bit out of your comfort zone. And that's not always comfortable because it's outside of your comfort zone. So just take some of the bread. And that is the fourth area. I've shared now three areas that were celebrated in the Old Testament. The deliverance from Egypt. Jesus saved me from slavery. The second one, bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God. That's where David, King David, danced like a fool because he loved God. The third one is when the building of the temple took place. A home was built for God. And you and I, we are the temple of God. God comes and lives on the inside of us. Specifically when, as Karin shared, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God comes and lives on the inside of us. And then in the New Testament, there was a celebration of Christ's death and return. And that was through communion. And I want to share this with you just from my heart. People, you are gifted. Each and every one of you, as you've heard this evening, each and every one of you has got something to share that will bless somebody's life. If it's to dance or to sing or to share about the love of God or about where you've been at and what God has done, that is so powerful because it is so real. And our God is alive. I just want to read the scripture. And this is what I'm praying for. I'm saying, God, take the little that we have and make it a lot. Lord, take the little bit and make it, just multiply the grace upon our lives, the gift. Lord, make it a lot. May it not just bless one person, may it bless a multitude. So 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" the body and the blood. It is a celebration of what God has done for us, so that you and I can have relationship with God. Just want to pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given to us your body that was broken for us 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you hung on that cross and you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as you died, 3 days later, you were risen from the dead, and hundreds of people witnessed it. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are alive and you've called us to have a living relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that this evening we will be encouraged. Lord, I pray that we'll hear what is happening in other people's lives of change, of transformation, of life, of peace, of joy, of song and dance. And God, we say, and may we say, Lord, us too, we want that. We want that. And so, Lord, we thank you for this bread, which symbolizes your body that was broken for us, so that we might have relationship with you. Just take a moment, thank the Lord for his body that was broken for you. Jesus died for you because he loves you. Just thank him. Just take a moment to thank him. Let's eat together. Lord, we thank you for your blood. God, even as December lies ahead, we acknowledge that we need you and we need your grace on the roads, during the festive season that sometimes isn't so festive for some people. God, we pray that your presence will truly manifestly be with us and for us. God, we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over every member of this church, every visitor here this evening, in our family, our loved ones. We speak a blessing over them, God. And we thank you for the protection of your grace, of your blood, of your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you wash away our sins by your precious blood. Just thank the Lord for his blood. Let's drink together. Would you be so kind to stand with me? I just feel there's such an intimacy, a tender presence of God, a peace in this place. And I just felt, I just want to be obedient to what I feel in my heart. We're ministering on intimacy with God, meaning knowing God. Not a religious, far-off, cold experience, but knowing God. And so I want to ask you, if you feel that you're far away from God, you just don't feel as if you're connecting with him, there's really lack of intimacy with him, even maybe as Corin shared, you know, they were Christians, but they didn't have the presence of God in its fullness. If that's you, if that's where you are at, you feel far from God, you don't feel intimate with God, would you be so bold to come and stand here in the front that we can pray with you? I know that's terrifying to ask that, but I just want to be obedient. So if you want to, just come. Just come and stand here. I want to pray with you. there's freedom in this house this evening. Anybody? Thank you. Just come and stand over there. Come on. I know there are other people as well. Don't be afraid. The young people these days are wonderful. Anybody else? You just want to take a step and say, Lord Jesus, I want an intimate relationship with you. Just come and stand here. Amen. You come. You come too. The old fogies are really looking bad this evening. The young people. God is going to do something amongst the young people. I'm just going to pray a corporate prayer. And if you want to join us, just come and join us here. Father, we thank you for such an awesome love. And Lord, this evening we just declare, God, that we don't want dead religion. We want to experience you. We want to know you, Lord God, even as we would know a spouse intimately. God, we want to dance in our hearts and in our spirits like Adele danced, Lord, with a smile on our faces, joy in our hearts, and just saying, Jesus, I want to know you. I love you so much, and I want to know you. God, we bless your name. Can I have some counselors here in the front to come and pray with these precious people? Just stand behind them. I'm going to pray a corporate prayer over them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you place a hunger in our hearts for you, for your presence, and for your grace. So let's just pray aloud. Just repeat after me and just say, Lord Jesus. Can all of us pray together? To say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today that I don't have an intimate relationship with you, but I want to. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want every facet of my life consumed with your goodness, with your love, with your joy, and your peace. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word that says, if I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. And so, Lord, as I walked here to the front, I thank you that you're drawing near as well. Lord Jesus, I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Immerse me in your Holy Spirit. And fill my whole being with your goodness. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. Just want to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak your blessing over these precious young people. We pray for an awakening, a stirring in their hearts to want to know you, to follow you with everything within them. And so we pray the blood of Christ over their minds and over their hearts in the name of Jesus. We bless them, Lord, and we pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Fill them with your presence, God. Fill them with your presence, God. May they experience you. May they know you. And may they follow you for the rest of their lives. Father, we bless you for this. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The counselors are going to be praying with them now. And the band's going to play a little bit for us. You're welcome to join us for some coffee and some fellowship. If there's somebody who needs prayer, you feel hopeless, despairing, or anything like that, then also just come to the front and we'll pray for you. just hold on 1 second. Michael just wants to pray for me and my wife because we're going away for a month.
I don't know why it's so unwilling. It's such a blessing to be prayed for. Johan, where's Johan? He's in the house. Len? Where's Len? Come on, guys. Is Sonica available? Okay. I just want to honor this man. Tomorrow it'll be exactly a year since they left their home to come and serve this community in East London. And this man has stood in the gap for this community. He's been on his knees. He's endured attack. He's endured a lot for us, for you and for me. And I want to honor him for that and thank him for doing it. Thank you, Andre. And I want to thank Sonica, even though she's not here. I know she'll hear this recording. We just bless you guys. We honor you for what you've done. We honor you for what you've given up. But we also honor you for what you brought here into this place. What you planted into my life, you built into me. And I appreciate that. And I know that everybody here can witness the same. Right. So just join me as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for this man and his wife and his young son. And we ask you to bless them, Lord, as they travel now, that they'll travel safely, but that they also travel with joy. Lord, when he goes to the pastor's summit, that he would be able to take a good report. That, Lord, he would speak the words of eternal life that we've enjoyed to the people there as well. And, Lord, in the time of holiday, that you'll refresh and bless Andre and Sonica in Jesus' name.